Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Well, happy Sunday, everyone. It is a pleasure to be on the air with you tonight. Yes, I'm flexible because normally we are on at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But as you know, that we are a global radio show. And tonight, my honored guest is from another time zone that's different. So I am being flexible in accommodating him. So I want you to text, tweet, call everyone while I go through my housekeeping and tell them that they need to come and spend the next 90 minutes with us so they can learn about some highlights that can help them to modify and adjust their lifetime. Tonight, our topic will be Beyond Hope with Mr. Aldeas. So here is our theme song.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I want to be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
You know, as always, I want to remind you that chat room is running. I want to welcome guests 8204 to the chat, guest 10721 to the show, guest 10978. I welcome you to the show and I want to encourage you to call in at any time to be part of the conversation. The number you can call into is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. I want to point your attention to DaphneClarkHudson.com, and it's DaphneClarkHudson.com. I want to encourage you to stop by there and fill out my form so you can be part of my mailing list. And when you do that, you will be kept informed with all the things I am doing. You'll know when I'm having giveaways. You'll know where I'm keeping you. I have the show. I just want to make sure that my regular supporters are being kept in the loop. So I ask you to stop by there and fill it out and share it with others in your net group as well. You all know that I founded a not-for-profit organization called the Empowering People Foundation, Inc. This organization is created to provide breasts for the children at the Carmel Primary School in Westmoreland, Jamaica, West Indies. And I'm moved to do so, or I was called to do so, because the children are going to school without breakfast. And I need your support. I need your manpower. I need your money. I need your creative ideas to raise these funds. So it doesn't matter where you are. I do have a few open spots on the board. So if you think that you are ready to commit to empower families of the Carmel Moravian School and pupils or students of the school, I want you to inbox me right here on the radio or on Facebook. You can message me. I'm also looking for a web designer who would like to volunteer their time in helping us to develop the website for the not-for-profit organization. And in doing so, you will be allowed to be one of the official sponsors. You can put your information on the website so that all the visitors who visit the website will be able to see you and to possibly do some business with you. So it doesn't matter where you are. I need your support. Again, financially, I want you to help me to spread the news. So if it's only $5 that you can donate, it will be welcome. So reach out to me. You may telephone me at 203-885-5093. You can send me a message at dynamicdaphne12@att.net. And let's talk about how you can help me to get this program up and running. All right? Again, we are planning a fundraiser cruise for June the 14th through the 22nd. And this cruise will be on the Norwegian and port of call will be Barcelona, Spain. We need your support. And you can get more information about this cruise from our cruise consultant, Tot Olinda Begg. Her telephone numbers are 203-539-0094 or 203-818-3174. So please call her for all information pertaining to the cruise, and she can let you know all the details. If you have not yet done so, please connect with me on facebook.com/dynamicdaphne or on twitter.com/dynamicdaphne, also on LinkedIn. And if you cannot remember all of what I've announced, just Google me, Dr. Hudson, and you will be able to connect with me. As I grow, I can only do so with your help and support and with your relationship. The other thing I'm looking for, I need to connect with some people who are hired in healthcare facilities, hospital, nursing home or group home or assisted living. If you are someone who is working in those arena, I need your help. And when you message me privately, I will give you more detail. But I tell you, the people who come through for me in this, you will be generously rewarded. So again, message me, email me, or just message me here on the radio show or on my social media site. Again, you're welcome to call in 646-915-8166. My honored guest tonight is a gentleman I met approximately 2 months ago, or approximately a month ago, rather. I met him at the Awesomeness Fest event I went to in the DR. And this is an amazing gentleman. He's a visionary. And he's doing a lot of amazing things. He travels the world doing a keynote. And he just has such a phenomenal, phenomenal story. And what I like about his story is the fact that he came to the realization, knowing that it was never too late to make a change and to transform his life. And he did so after age 40. So I tell you, brace your seats, you know, just get your tea or water so that you will not be disturbed when we start this conversation. So without any other delay, I want to welcome Mr. Al Diaz. Hello, Al. How are you, my brother?
Hello, Daphne, and thank you for having me on my show. And first things first for you, anyway, I send you powerful energy and vibration that all that you desire required to be supported will come to pass.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I know that came from your authentic place, because I don't think you know how to do anything else. And I honor you for the work that you're doing, but honor you more for your investment tonight in just sharing your amazing story with my listeners. So I am so thankful. Tell us a little bit. I want to learn about you before age 40. So tell us about Al before age 40, because the rest of tonight is going to spend with talking about the after the transformation. So let's talk about who you were before age 40.
Okay, well, I was raised in an Hispanic family, and the one thing that I was shown was that you had to work very, very hard to get ahead in life. And in another aspect I would probably say is even though my parents loved us, they weren't as affectionate as some other families were. We were a close family, but the affection wasn't there. So basically, in a roundabout way, we were out, and my brother and I were on our own, including my half sister, who was older than I was. But as we grew up, and in one aspect, my mom encouraged us to be successful in life and to move forward in life by putting us down. And she didn't do it in a mean way, because that's all she knew. She didn't want us to be like how she struggled. So she used to subtly put us down to make us move forward, you know. And it got to the point where I wanted to prove her wrong. And actually, my brother felt the same way too. So, you know, we wanted to prove her wrong, and that's how we moved forward. But eventually, you know, we became angry, and we became, you know, like we were never good enough. And by the time I hit my early 20s, I had a huge ego. I mean, it was like a city block wide. And this ego was able to force things to happen, whether it was money, whether it was women, whether it was a car, whether it was a home. You know, I could have all these things because I was able to force it, because I wanted to prove to myself and to everybody around me that I was successful, and I could have what I wanted or needed in life. And for in my 20s and 30s, I was on a roller coaster. Sometimes I would be on top of the mountain and I would have everything. And then at other times I would be in a deep valley of despair, and And I would wonder, you know, why does this keep happening to me? And when I was on top of the mountain, I would wonder, okay, when am I gonna falter again? You know, when am I gonna fail again? You know, and I would be looking over my shoulder, even though I was on top of the mountain, I was looking for the next failure. So for 40 years, I was on a roller coaster ride, and I finally got tired of it. I finally said, you know what? I'm no angel, but I deserve to be blessed. I used to look at everybody else, and I used to think everybody else was lucky. I used to think that everybody else was more blessed than I was. I used to think that this is the silly part of it. I used to think these are the cards that I was dealt with, therefore this is how my life is going to be. I used to believe that.
Isn't that amazing?
Go ahead.
I like what you're saying there. You used to believe it because, you know, ignorance is something. All along for those 30 years, you never 1 minute stopped to think that I am attracting all these things that was happening. You were on the mountain, and instead of giving gratitude for where you were, you were looking over your shoulders expecting to fall. And you know, as you and I converse right now, there are people who will be listening to this conversation, whether they are listening live or on the archives, who are still doing the same thing. And this is why we are here to tell them that whatever position they are in, you are creating it. And when you decide that you are no longer going to create such and such, then everything else is going to begin to manifest itself. But it was just like a big aha moment. Were you born and raised in the U.S.?
Yes, I was. I was born and raised in California.
Okay. I'm asking that question because I listened to what you're saying about your family. And I was born and raised in Jamaica, West Indies. And it's the same thing happened in the West Indies because during those times, that's what people knew. They thought if they beat you down, you're going to run. They're looking to say, I'm damaging this child. You'll hear parents say, oh, you're just like your father. In Jamaica, they say, you're like your pupa. And that's a patois word for father. And they don't realize how they are programming the children to be that way. And this is why this kind of a conversation is of vital importance. It's of vital importance.
I agree that you know from the moment you're born, you know, the baby starts accepting either consciously or unconsciously the what's going on around them as truth.
Exactly.
If you keep hearing the same thing over and over again, if it's belittlement, if it's demeaning, you know, you eventually, even though you try to fight it off to some degree, you start accepting it as truth. And then you start fulfilling that role. You know, if you're told enough that this is how you are and what you are, you become that because you're continuously being told that.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they say it's important, you know, when people are pregnant, they say play music, play appropriate music around your abdomen there because the child is going to connect with that type of a music. And, you know, it's the same thing. If all you hear is no playing, and that's the music you hear, so that's what you are going to play. So you got to a time in your life, I'm just sick and tired. Can you remember that day you came to that decision that you were sick and tired and what was happening had nothing to do with luck, but had all to do with Al?
Actually, I do. But let me backtrack. Before I answer that question, let me backtrack a little bit here. So what was the accumulation of 40 years of living this way? Was that I was living in fear because I had low self-esteem and I had an instant gratification mindset. You know, I built up this ego to give me this false confidence to acquire what I desired in life. Because I would go after things, whatever it was, and because I'd had this instant gratification mindset that was being fueled by my low self-esteem.
Self-esteem, material things.
I wanted to prove to myself that I was worth it. I wanted to prove to myself that I was worthwhile. I wanted to prove to myself that I could have whatever I required in life. But it was all being fueled by fear. And and then what I eventually learned, and I'll get to your question in a moment, what I eventually learned years later is the reason why I have so much fear is because I didn't love myself unconditionally.
Yeah, and I want to piggyback on something you said. You said you were going around trying to accomplish things that you require versus what you deserve and what you desire, and that's the difference. People have to understand the difference that when you require certain things, you are filling all this ego that is part of your life and who you are. And it's not when you require these things, it's like you're filling all the empty spots of, you know, you're looking and so you're not good enough. So if I require this, if I require the big car, the big house, the many women, the bling bling and all of that, it fills that spot. And now I quote unquote somebody, but that soon vanished too and lost. So I just wanted to piggyback on that. Go ahead, Al.
Okay. So, and then about my early 40s, I became a massage technician. And that kind of opened the door a little bit, and it showed me that there's other people in this world. There's other people to care about, and versus it's not just about me. But that only opened the door a little bit. And then a couple years after that, I became a EMT paramedic. Mm-hmm. And part of the internship for that was to spend some time in the emergency room. And when I stayed there, I saw and viewed and felt things that I hadn't witnessed before, and that opened my eyes a little bit more because I saw the suffering of others.
Mm-hmm.
Here I've been thinking for 40 years that I'm the one who's getting beat down.
Suffer.
I'm the one who's going through this all this BS. But in reality, there was people that were much more worse off than me. So that opened my eyes incredibly more. And then a year or two after that, probably in my mid-40s, I started to meditate. I was introduced to meditation. And again, you know, I connected with that inner power. I found more peace. But I used it sporadically.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened in the early 2000s is I got a major concussion. A garage door hit me on top of the head and knocked me out. And I realized at that point, because I had to heal physically, I also realized at that point I had to heal mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. It was an awakening to me that if I didn't get my act together, my life was going to continue down this path.
Spiral,
I want to continue to go down to. So that was probably my biggest awakening at that point.
When you, I want to go back to your EMT internship in the ER. And as you experienced that, those turmoil that the people were going through, did you share your experience with any family members? And if so, what kind of a reply or response did you get from them?
You know, that's a great question. I didn't immediately share it. I think I shared it with one or two people because my jaw dropped watching or seeing what was going on in the ER.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like shell shocked when I went home, because I was doing 12-hour shifts. And And when I would go, got home, I was exhausted because mm-hmm. what I had to do and what I saw. So I shared it with one or two people. But as time went on, like a year or two later, I started opening up and telling people what I mm-hmm. had seen in the ER. And they were like in awe of it, and they asked me, "Wow, how did you get through that?" And I would say, "I don't know. It was like a dream, because I was a rookie. I was just like, I had to do this internship to get my certificate, and I was in there doing this stuff, and I was doing the best that I can. So it was an awe-inspiring experience."
It was like you were in a whole different world, because here you are you are actually transplanted in a community that you had no familiarity with. You didn't know that this exists, and you're looking. I'm in the same community, and look at what is happening here. And for so long, I've been having a pity party. You had a pity party here. And all of a sudden, you went into this training, and you saw what real suffering was. No wonder you went home drained, because not only you were physically tired, but you were in mental turmoil as well. Because I bet you could not be comfortable.
And not only mental, but also emotionally drained.
I can imagine. I want just take a sip of water, Al, and just stick a pin there. If you're just joining me, you're listening to Mr. Al Diaz, and he's sharing his amazing story of Beyond Hope. So call in. The number is 646-915-8166.
AMD Law Group is an international law practice committed to assisting you in realizing your strategic business goals. Led by Ms. Aurelia Mitchell-Durant, Senior Managing Partner, AMD Law specializes in international business, international intellectual property, and general internet law. We also support organizations in resolving corporate compliance issues. Addressing the legal needs of technology firms and other businesses serving both domestic and international markets, we are uniquely positioned to assist both startups and long-established organizations. Although AMD seeks to proactively avoid litigation wherever possible, we are fully capable and ready to litigate on your behalf. AMD Law Group. Find us online at amdlawgroup.com or contact us at 347-699-4AMD. That's 347-699-4263. Let us help you pursue and protect your dreams.
Wonderful. So make sure, you know, we are giving you all the tools here to make sure you protect your intellectual property. So again, I want to remind you about our cruise that's coming up next June. I want you to reach out to Todd or Linda Begg. The numbers are 203-539-0094 or 203-818-3174. And if you have not yet connected with me, I want you to do so on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and all the other social media. All right? So again, you can call in 646-915-8166. And for those of you in the chat room, feel welcome to type your questions in that little box below, and I can read it for Al. Or you are welcome to also call in. We love when you do both. All right. So we will continue. Continue, Al. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So you went into EMT. You went into doing massage massage technician, and what else did that path lead you to be doing?
Well, and again, so it was a progression. Like I said, a massage technician, then a couple years later, an EMT, a couple years later, meditation, and then as I mentioned, then one day I got a major concussion from a garage door accident.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned, I realized at that point that if I was going to continue this path that I've been on for 40, you know, a little over 40 years, that this is how my life was going to be. And,
mm-hmm.
and so I realized that not only did I need to heal physically because of the concussion, but also mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And I began to meditate hours a day because I couldn't do very much because of the concussion and the healing I had to go through. And then
mm-hmm.
once I became okay, you know, a couple months later, I had a great thirst for the knowledge of how humanity coexisted with the universe. And I went after it. I searched. I was blessed with an amazing mentors. Went to seminars, workshops, read a lot of books, and I was looking or finding or searching or whatever adjective you want to use for the answers to how humanity coexists with the universe. Because I came to the point where I had enough, as you had mentioned. And it was time for me to be, quote-unquote, blessed, and just like many other people were. And I wanted to have that understanding.
Let's talk. I want to spend a few minutes talking about how the universe and human being coexist. I want you to break that down for the listeners, and I want you to tell us, what difference, once you did your research and you spent time studying the subject matter, what did you find out that has made a 90-degree paradigm shift in who Al is today?
Oh, that is simple. The first 40 years of my life, I thought life happened to me. Okay. I thought there's that phrase out there, as fate would have it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, this is how. Oh, here's another good phrase. This is how life's supposed to be. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what shifted me when I had the greater understanding is I co-create the life
that you desire.
That I desire.
Beautifully said.
And when I understood that, then I went on a whole different path and said, okay, how do I start co-creating my life?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
I understood then that it's not what life gives to me, it's what I co-create in life, so I get or so that I vibrate the energy
mm-hmm.
so to get what I desire in life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And how do you do that? Because it sounds simple, and people are listening, and they say, "Yeah, it's so easy, good for him." But I, you know, how do we do that? How do I do that? You want to like lay it out a little for them?
Okay, I'm going to tell you something so powerful, so extremely powerful and simple, that anybody that does this will create a shift in their life. Before I tell you what the process is, here's the thing. If you understand that you can co-create life, okay, if you even give a little bit of a thought to that and say, okay, you know what, I can contribute to what's going on in my life versus keep thinking that life keeps dishing the blessings and whatever else to you, the good, bad, and the indifferent keeps coming at you, and you have no say-so in it.
Mm-hmm.
If you can move away from that perspective and say, you know what, somehow, some way, I know deep down inside I can contribute to my life, and not only my life, but bring value to this world. If you could just accept that for a little bit here, for a little notion,
mm-hmm.
here's the thing. here's the foundation of what transpired for me and skyrocketed me to the rest of my story.
Mm-hmm.
When I started loving myself unconditionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I started doing that, when I started loving myself unconditionally, a couple of things happened. So now for 40 years, what I became is, the first 40 years, I became this false self personality. When I was born, I was this unique spirit, this magnificence.
Mm-hmm.
But for the first 40 years, I became something else or someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But as I started loving myself unconditionally, I started disempowering my ego or false personality and empowering my heart.
We all came
with the wisdom. We were born with the answers. We all came with natural born gifts. We all came here with purpose. But the only way you're going to be able to retrieve those answers, that wisdom, that spirit that you came here, your authenticity, is by remembering who you are.
Knowing who you are, appreciating and showing gratitude for who you are.
But most importantly is to love yourself unconditionally.
That is the premise. That is the foundation. Right. Mhm. Love is the universal healer.
Yes.
You know?
It's the universal power.
That there are a lot of people out here who really don't love themselves, you know? And you are so right. Once we begin to love ourselves and love who we are, we notice that everything begins to get better. You know, a lot of times people spend so much time trying to fix the other person, the other people around them. They're fixing their parents, they're fixing their siblings, they're fixing the government, they're fixing the community. Instead of looking in the mirror and connect unconditionally beyond hope. And I know you have a book that talk about that. I haven't read the book yet. I must let the people know. So I really don't know the content of the book. And you also have a movie. So let's talk about how those two projects apply to the transformed Al. And what story are they telling about the transformation of Al?
Well, about 7 years ago or 8 years ago, I was sitting in my office back then. And by this time, I was belonging to an open forum, so I was contributing my thoughts and my comments and inspiration, whatever wisdom, whatever I had, to different forums, and you know, it was great. I was evolving, and I was happy because I was in a better place and a better understanding. And what happened is one evening I wrote a couple of paragraphs down, and actually about three paragraphs, and I read them, and I go, this is silly. This is dumb, you know, and I set it aside. And a couple weeks later, one of my mentors came over, and she was downstairs, and I grabbed those paragraphs and I took it to her, and I said, "Can you read this?" And she read them, and she goes, "Where did you get this?" And I said, "I wrote them down."
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, "Well, I know you wrote them down, but where did you get them?" I go, "I don't know. It just came to me, and I wrote them down." And she goes, "You actually wrote this?" I go, "Yeah, I just wrote it down." And I asked her why. And she goes, "Al, this is freedom." And I looked at her and I said, "What?" She goes, "This is freedom." Mm. And at that point, my wife grabbed the pieces of paper and read them. And she looked at me and she goes, "You got to write a book." And I said,
"So prior to that time, your wife knew nothing about the writing?"
No, I didn't. No, she did not.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, "You got to write a book." I go, "I got to do what?" And she goes, "You got to write a book." I go, "No, I don't. I don't know. I don't even know the first thing how to write a book. My grammar, my punctuation, all that. It's not that great. You're gonna want me to write a book?" So what I did is, by my mentor and my wife telling me, hey, you know, you got to write a book. I went to one of my forums, and actually it was Dr. Joe Vitale's forum. Mm-hmm. And there was like several hundred people in this forum, and I asked them, hey, guys, I got these paragraphs. I don't know. I'm being told I should write a book. Let me know what you think. So 26 people said, well, you know, show me, Al. Let me read it. Mm-hmm. And 16 people came back and said, hey, Al, this is powerful. You got to do something with it. And at that point, I started, I said, okay, out of those 16 people, I need a mastermind group because I've never done this before. Help me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And 8 people came back and said, Al, we're here for you. And that was
wonderful.
In, that was in 03. No, let me think of that back. That was in 05, August of 05. Mm-hmm. In November of 05, the e-book version came out and started selling worldwide. In December of 2005, the audio version came out, started selling worldwide. In January of 2006, Dr. Joe Vitale wrote the foreword, and in May of 2006, it was published by a publisher, and it sold. And I'm thinking, okay, I thought maybe 10 people would buy my book, and a bunch of people bought it. And I was going, this is wild. So then I started, you know, I would do teleseminars and stuff, and I didn't think nothing of it. I just thought, you know, I'm going for this ride.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wrote another book in 2006. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
2006. And that one almost became a bestseller. And I'm thinking, oh wow, this is crazy. This book continues to sell. A couple of years after that, I self-published the third book, and I've collaborated on 3 other books. So part
Beautiful.
Of the premise is to dealing with your question you're answering, somehow, some way, things keep working out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it at the time. It was like a progression, and somehow things kept working out. About
Beautiful.
4 years ago, about 2008, 2009, I was doing a lot of local speaking engagements, and I decided, you know what, I want to go national. Let me see what I could do national. So I put a tour together, and I put a team together, and I put a tour together called The Miracle of Love.
The Miracle of Love?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And the first speaking engagement was going to be in San Diego, California. I booked a room that I think could hold 120 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought in 2 very well-known speakers to co-present with me. And I was going to open up because in my mind, these people have been around for a while. I'm just going to, you know, I'm just there for the ride. And that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in my head, because of these 2 well-known speakers and plus the following that I had, I thought 100 people easy.
Mm-hmm.
13 people went to the event.
Came. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, boy, that's a big disappointment. And I was
mm-hmm.
like, you know.
Well, they were meant to be there.
Yeah.
They
but
were meant to be there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Those 13 people all came to see me.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, so in that
That's
sense,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So in that sense, I thought to myself, okay, there's something here. So then, so I followed up that event with another event in San Francisco, and again with other amazing speakers, a couple more amazing speakers. And you got to understand, I'm the one who's putting the money into these events to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we go to San Francisco, and that one didn't do too well. And I'm going, oh boy. And so I'm losing quite a bit of money here in putting these events together, and I started thinking, okay, now what, you know? So
mm-hmm.
I came home, and I rethought the whole process. I go, what is it that's not happening here? And I changed the business plan or the business aspect of it. And I started going to Utah, to New York, to Florida. By the time I did the last one 4 years ago, in 2009, at the end of the year, when I was coming home from Florida from a big event, I thought to myself, wow, I figured it out. And as I was flying home, I said, you know what? I'm gonna try Australia and New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And I came home, and I sat down, and that was the Florida event was in November. In March of the following year, mm-hmm. in 2010, I flew to Australia and New Zealand. I'd never been there before. And not only that, in order to make those two events happen, I stopped making my mortgage payments, and I have a beautiful home. But I needed the money to make these events happen in Australia and New Zealand. So I stopped making my mortgage payments, and believe me, it caused a lot of friction in my household because I worked very hard.
You put your family in jeopardy, yep.
Yeah, and I worked very hard to get to where I was at. And again, I have a beautiful home. And then for me to stop making my mortgage payments, you know, that was a huge risk. Well, both of those events barely broke even. But the one thing it did is that it showed me not that I have the capability to draw people in a foreign country that I'd never been to, two foreign countries actually. I did three events, two in Australia and one in New Zealand, and they both rocked. And,
because they always say a king has no honor in his own town, you know? And that's we all have to learn, that it's good, it's safe to venture out. Because a lot of times you hear people who are known globally, they were known and accepted globally before they were locally.
And there was validity to that, and I get it. So then I came home from that, and I thought, okay, boy. So I had to, you know, handle my financial affairs at home, make sure to get it back to par and make everything going. Mm-hmm. Well, a few months later, I said, you know what? If I could pull that off, I'm going to put together a mini global tour. And 5 months later, the same year in August, I ended up going to a couple of dates in the U.S., Canada, Scotland, back to Australia, back to New Zealand, and then to South Korea.
Wow.
And by the time I came back in 2011, I had become an international keynote speaker to the point where other countries were starting to ask me to come and go to their countries. So
you need to concentrate on that. If it's not broke, you fit. Yeah. If not broke, that's what people appreciate in your story and your message. And if they're for it, you have to feed them.
Right. So, okay, so then I came back and I did a little bit more touring. And then in 2012, let me back up a little bit. So then I was invited to go to speak in Bangkok and at a film festival to a bunch of producers of film. And and I thought to myself, well, if I'm going to speak there, and why not create a short film? Because that film festival was 9 minutes or less. And I told my team at the time, why don't we create a film? And since I'm going to be speaking, let's do a film. And I've never done one before. So, and they go, okay, let's give it a shot. You know, we know some people, let's do it. Well, we submitted a 4.5-minute film called Remember to Lead from the Heart. And it didn't place and didn't win anything, but it did get honorable mention.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and so I thought, okay. And then I had about 100 people at my home for a red carpet event for that film. And then after it was over, you know, people were asking me, Al, so what's next? What's next? What are you going to do next? And I go, that's it. I'm not a producer. I'm an author. I'm an author and a producer. I mean, I'm an author and a speaker. That's who I am.
That's
too funny. Yeah, right. And they're telling me, Al, come on, you can't stop now. I go, yes, I can. Are you kidding me? I'm busy as all heck, and you're telling me to do something else? And they kept pushing me. And then I started getting emails and messages and going, come on, Al. So I went back to my team in last year in September, and I said, hey, guys, what would it take to do an independent short film? And they said, Al, you need about 15 minutes to about 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. I go, okay, so what would it take to do a 30-minute film? And then they told me the dollar amount. They told me the resources that needed it. And I looked at them, can we do it? And they just looked at me and said, I don't know, can we do it? Well, that was September of last year. Mm-hmm. And by October, not only we had an all-star cast, we had an award-winning screenwriter. And by November, the mid of November, we finished filming. We went to post-production at the beginning of this year, And in August of this year, and now the movie's called Beyond Hope. In August of this year, we had a sold-out red carpet event here in Southern California. In September, a few weeks later, on the spur of the spontaneous, you know, just did it, because I was guided to do it, we went into Mexico City and did a Latin premiere there with 100 people in a theater. And then, and they all stayed afterwards, and my Spanish is not that great. You know, they all came and listened. They all came to see what I had to say in regards to an event. Here goes to Beyond Hope, and it goes to the whole, everything that's gone on in my life for the seven or eight years. Mm-hmm. I got to the point where I have this personal mantra, where you trust beyond hope and know beyond faith. Mm. See, hope and faith are important. I'm not trying to belittle them, because they are important. But when you start functioning at a level where you trust beyond hope and you know beyond faith, then, you know, as they were talking in AFest about being in the flow, all of a sudden you just start surfing this wave that somehow, some way, everything always works out.
People who will be listening on the archive, trust beyond hope and know beyond faith. Was that what you said?
Yes.
I want you to expand on those two points some more. I get it, but I want you to just break it down for the people.
Okay. Excuse me. So here's the thing, and now I'm going back to what I said a few minutes ago. The foundation to all this is to love yourself unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
And drink some water.
Thank you. And I will tell you. Here's the biggest thing. Most of humanity are givers.
Mm-hmm.
A few of them are receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And much less than that, have a harmony between giving and receiving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a very small percentage, but that number is growing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if most of humanity is always giving, 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 and I'm going to use mm-hmm. myself as an example, you know, it got mm-hmm. to the point in my life where it said, well, they always told me that giving is receiving.
Mm-hmm.
Or here's another thing they used to say, give until it hurts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Trust me. I know about that, Al.
Okay, so I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm always giving. You know, when's it my turn?
Mm-hmm.
When am I going to say
a big ouch on that one, yep.
Yeah, when is it my turn to start receiving? You know, mm-hmm. I'm always giving. You know, the scripture says, you know, you got to give mm-hmm. to receive, you know, and give it till it hurts. Well, you know what? I hurt quite a bit. And
when it feels good, not hurt. Anytime you're hurting, it's not a good thing.
Right. So here's my thing. Okay, you know what? I mentioned to this earlier that I was going to tell you guys, your audience, a very powerful process. Get something to write with.
Before you go into that, do I want to expand a little on trust beyond hope and know beyond faith? And my little two cent in all of this is to say to the listeners, no matter what is happening around you, you got to know beyond hope that you are at the right place doing the right thing when you are doing it. So you can't waver on that. You got to have the faith. Even when you heard like what Al says, that he did not pay his mortgage, he went to
Australia and New Zealand.
Australia and New Zealand, and he knew beyond hope that it was going to be all right, and he loved himself enough to believe that. And it's the same thing he's telling for us, because he's not special. I'm not special. But here he is tonight sharing the secret with us where we can live a life beyond hope. Okay, Ter'al, I'm reading what you're writing, and I am honestly not sure what's happening. But is that any better?
Yes, it's not that I can't hear you. It's just that you're cracking, you're getting really crackly.
I don't know why. So
okay.
Well, yeah, we're doing our best with that. Okay. All right. So you may continue to get things right.
Okay. So here's the process for your audience, and then I'll tell you what the outcome of this and to deal with the receiving and the giving part of it.
Mhm.
Hopefully everybody has something to write with.
Yes, we.
And this is what I share with my audiences. Okay. Because to me, the foundation of what I tell my audiences is unconditional love. So here's the foundation, or here's the process. Tonight, before you go to bed, you have nothing else left to do. All you got to do is go to bed. Go to a mirror and look into your eyes. Not at your eyes, not at your reflection, but inside your pupils. And tell yourself, I honor who you are and what you are 3 times. Honor who you are and what you are 3 times. And then tell yourself, I love you unconditionally 3 times. I love you unconditionally 3 times. And then you go to bed. Those are the last words.
Would you repeat it slower?
Sure. I honor who you are and what you are. And say that 3 times. And I love you unconditionally 3 times. And again, you're looking inside your eyes. You're looking inside your pupils, not at your reflection like you're brushing your teeth or washing your face or combing your hair. You're looking inside your pupils. Okay, and the reason why you do this right before you go to bed is because those are the last words you tell yourself, and your body, mind, and spirit will accept them more as truth as you sleep.
That is powerful.
Now you when you get up in the morning, before you brush your teeth, before you go to the bathroom, before you wash your face, before you do anything, you go back to the same mirror and you repeat the process.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why you do it first thing in the morning before you do anything else, because you're still half awake and half asleep. And again, in that awareness, your body, mind, and spirit will accept that as truth. Because they're half awake and half asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, within 30 days, your life will shift.
Beautiful.
What I don't know is to what degree. Some people have small degrees of a shift, and some people have miracles.
Yeah, because we are all at different places. Yep.
Right, but I guarantee you, if you do this, within 30 days, your life will shift. Now, here's the best part, other than loving yourself unconditionally. 2 things. One, what are you doing? When you love yourself unconditionally, you're raising your energy, you're raising your vibration, you're raising your frequency. And all that stuff, all the experiences, all the situations, all the people, and all that match your vibration currently right now, in 30 days, those type of situations, experiences, people will start melting away. Because they no longer match your vibration, because you're raising your vibration. And all of a sudden, new experiences, new resources, new people start coming towards you because your vibration, they have to match your vibration. Here's the best part. Here is the best part. What are you doing when you look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself, I love you unconditionally? What most of humanity does, they're giving. But what are you simultaneously doing in that moment? You're receiving. What are you telling life? What are you telling the universe that you have the ability to receive? What are you internalizing to yourself that you have the ability to receive? So what happens is that invisible wall that's around you, that life is continuously trying to bless you, but you don't allow it because you're unable to receive. You got this invisible wall around you. It starts melting down because you're raising your vibration and you're showing to yourself and to life or to the universe you have the ability to receive.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So I want to tell people I am such an advocate for 3x5 cards and journal. I think the manufacturers for those two items should really give me shares in their company, because I'm telling them to make sure they write a 3x5 card for the night and stick it in the mirror, and they write another one for morning. And you highlight night and highlight morning. Although it's the same thing you're doing, I want you to have it so that you know exactly what you are to do when, and you develop a ritual to do this. So don't just be stingy and write it on one card. Write it on two cards, one that says night and one that says morning. And you repeat that. And we want for you to call into the show and let us know how this has transformed your life. You know, a lot of times people get benefits out of recommendations and they don't think to call back and give a testimony about it. But we are inviting you to call us back and let us know. We have remaining 28 minutes in this segment. I want to remind you to call in 646-915-8166 so you can ask your question of Mr. Al Diaz. Also, if you have not yet connected with me on social media, I want you to Google Daphne Clark Hudson and please connect with me. I want you to visit my website, DaphneClarkHudson.com, and please get on my mailing list, because I want to have my inner circle. As part of my inner circle, I'm getting ready to roll out some amazing programs in 2014. And I want to give first access to my inner circle supporters. So, again, visit DaphneClarkHudson.com and be sure to fill out the paper there. Yes, Al, we have 27 minutes remaining. Is there anything on your mind you wanted to talk about that I have not yet asked you?
Sure, and so I want to finish up on the questions you asked me. So now I just explained to you and your audience what my foundation is, and that, which is unconditional love. And when I started seeing the transformation or the shift of not only my consciousness, but what was going on in my external reality and what I was drawing to myself, what I was allowing to exist. And I'm glad I said that. You know, a lot of people talk about creating or manifesting or attracting to themselves to have the lifestyle they desire. I will tell you, and they all work, okay? I'm going to tell you, you can attract to you, you can manifest, and you can create, okay? So I'm putting that out there. They all work. But I will tell you what's more powerful and simpler is to allow what already exists within you. And when you allow it, then it comes into fruition much easier and much quicker. And to allow, in order to have the ability to allow experiences to be in your life, whatever they may be, or relationships or resources or whatever it is you desire, to allow it, it's almost a prerequisite to love yourself unconditionally. Because if you don't, then how are you going to allow something that exists within you if you don't even recognize it? And you're recognizing it by understanding who and what you are. And you do that by loving yourself unconditionally.
Beautiful.
So that's the foundation of everything that happens in my life. So when you ask me about how did I get to beyond hope, I mean trusting beyond hope and knowing beyond faith, the premise or the foundation was loving myself unconditionally. And then it got to the point when I reflected back and I started seeing that how everything always worked out for me. And I'm not going to lie to you and say it was easy. I'm not going to say it was like I didn't get nervous sometimes. I'm not going to lie to you and say I didn't have doubts. Sure, I went through. I am human. But when I reflect back, somehow, some way, everything always worked.
That's right. Because I, a lot of times, and I'm going to use the word Christianity for a moment. A lot of times people think that once they become Christians, is that their struggles are going to be eliminated. And I said, that's the time when you're going to get more struggle, because they want to see how strong you are with what your conviction is. And it's the same thing here. You are giving us tools tonight that will help us to stand firm on what it is we are looking to accomplish. And yes, we're going to get down. We're going to be encountering certain struggles. And that's where it is important that we maintain that we know beyond hope. No, we know beyond hope. No, we trust beyond hope and know beyond faith that we are going to be able to get the result that we so desire.
Absolutely. And you do that when you love yourself unconditionally, because you know you'll always be taken care of.
Yes.
You have this inner knowing. You just know. Mm-hmm. And here's mm-hmm. another thing too, is you got to let it go, because you know what? When you have that knowing, or when you have that trust that it's all going to work out, it doesn't mean it's going to go the way you think it's supposed to go.
Because you're not in control, really.
Right. Yeah. Because you're in the flow. And that's mm-hmm. That's another whole aspect. You got to let go of the controlling part. You know, and that doesn't mean you just sit there on your chair and do nothing. You have to tap into your inner wisdom, and I believe mm-hmm. it comes from your heart, and take inspired action. And once you've taken that inspired action, then you allow what is supposed to exist. You
mm-hmm.
know, and you tell your ego, you know what, support me. You know, support
mm-hmm.
my heart. You know,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
that's okay. And, you know, a lot of people say that the ego is a bad or evil thing. I disagree. I think ego is a gift, but don't mm-hmm. allow it to be your master. Allow
yeah, only
the heart.
when you know how to direct it, you know. And this is why I strongly believe that when we all operate from our authentic place, then we are not going to be struggling with all the other stuff that comes up, because we know that we are operating from our core place.
I agree. But for me personally, for me to become authentic, or to
mm-hmm.
come from my core, or to come from the wisdom of my heart, I
mm-hmm.
have to love myself unconditionally. So
exactly.
So no matter what came at me, you know, whether I brought it to myself or life brought it to myself, whatever, however you want to look at it, whatever
right.
was going on in my external reality, I stood my ground and I looked at reality and I said, bring it, because I'm ready.
Exactly. Because you know you are the only Al. And once you begin to know I love me unconditionally, I don't care what members of my family say, I don't care what society say, I don't care what else is happening. I love me, all of me, 100% of me, unconditionally. And that is what makes a difference. Because how many of us get in the mirror? And that the whole class at the AFS about that. And a lot of people are still struggling because they honestly could not say that to themselves. You know, give me a minute, Al. We still have a few minutes. We have 20 minutes to be exact. So call in. Use this time, guys, to get your answer, question. If you are someone who have practiced any of what Al is talking about, we want to hear from you too. So call in 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. Continue. I just cut your thought. You were about to say something. Please continue.
Okay. So, and so going back to trusting beyond hope and knowing beyond faith. You know, I understand this. You know, there's people out there going to say, "How in the world do you get to that?" And a lot of people say, "Well, Al, you got to have hope and faith." I totally agree. You got to have hope. That's like a starting point, or maybe
yes,
yeah, that's like a starting point. You have to have hope and you have to have faith. But I will tell you, and here's the best example I could give you, and I don't know if you received one or if you saw me give them to anybody. But I'm to the point where when I was at the event that we were both together at A-Fest, for the first time in my whole entire life, I started giving third eye kisses because I was guided to do it. And I probably gave it to about close to 100 people there.
Yeah. Before you continue, I want to say something about that. I'm not going to call the person's name, but I was honored and blessed to receive one, and I received it without asking. But I remember we were standing in the back of the conference room, and you were led to do one for a certain individual. And she said, in a panic, what are you going to do? What are you doing? And she was fearful of what was about to happen. And I stood there and I said, that was very interesting to observe that. Because, you know, people are so afraid of what they don't know, and they're not ready and receptive to receive.
And that's a good point. But my point to all this is I'm at a comfortable level because I love myself unconditionally, and I know, I just know and trust. And I just started doing it. I had never done it before until I went to that event. And here I was doing it to a bunch of, at one point, we were a bunch of strangers. I never met I didn't know anybody there. And I just started doing it. And I started doing it because I know what's real. I know what's authentic. I know I come from my heart. I know it's about unconditional love. And I will tell you, I'm not any better than anybody else.
No.
Perhaps I might have a little bit more of awareness than some others, but what I will tell you is I'm just a conduit. I'm just a vehicle for the greater good.
You're just more obedient. Yes, yes. And I was blessed to experience that. And I didn't ask any question. I didn't ask why you did it, but I pondered during the time, and I kept saying, I wonder what's his field of work. And I just kept asking that because I've never had that before. I've never heard anybody mentioned about that before. So it was actually my first experience. But it gives me the chills to know that when we allow ourselves to be used, we are used. Because you could have very well said, oh, no, I'm not going to do this. I don't know these people. But you stepped out in faith. And you did what you were instructed to do, and that is powerful. I want to give you an opportunity to begin to wrap up. We have 16 minutes remaining. If someone calls in, we'll take their call during the time, but I would like for you to wrap up, and I want for you to summarize, and I also want you to tell people at the end of your summary how they can reach out to you and how they can get in touch with you.
Thank you. I'm not everybody is at a different level of awareness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I honor that. I personally will not tell you what to do or how to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough people out there that will do that. But what I personally will do for you is I will guide you to remember the answers you already have.
Mm-hmm.
I will guide you to remember your purpose. I will guide you to know what your natural born gifts are.
Mm-hmm.
I will not tell you what they are. You will tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I read a lot of books. I had a lot of amazing mentors, and I'm grateful and blessed to have had them. But I realized at one point I was searching for the answers outside of me.
Mm.
And it wasn't until I realized at one point I said, you know what? I already have the answers. I'm going to give the best example here. Something ever happened to you in your life and you get an aha, Like, I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because you learned it. It's because you remembered it.
Yeah, it's a revelation.
Yeah, you've always known. It's just, mm-hmm. You just had to remember.
Yep, I affirm it.
And there's two approaches to that in the remembering part. You know, you can go rational, scientific, logical. What is DNA? DNA is intelligence that exists in every cell of your body.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that intelligence come from? It comes from your parents. And where mm-hmm. does their DNA come from? It comes from their parents, and mm-hmm. on and on and on. Well, guess what? All that intelligence, every experience, every thought, every feeling, every emotion, every action that's ever been taken in your ancestry has been passed on to you.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? Logically, scientifically, you already have the intelligence in your DNA in every cell of your body that's ever transpired prior to the moment you were born.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tap into that intelligence. That's scientific. Let's go to the other side of the coin. We're all connected to Source. We're all connected mm-hmm. to God, or whatever you want to call it, the higher power. We're all connected to that, and that's metaphysical. So if whether you meditate to listen or pray to ask or reflect to think,
mm-hmm.
you got that connection. And again, mm-hmm. that's another angle where you can retrieve the answers. We are not here alone. We are not meant to struggle. We are not meant to live in fear. We are meant to live and thrive and enhance life. That's the reason we are here. Now,
Al,
yeah,
I
yeah.
need to stop you. We have a call, so let me just take the call.
Sure.
Caller, your first three digits are 443. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
My name is Terry, and I'm calling from Maryland.
Hi, Terry. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much. I've been listening to a great show.
Wonderful. Thank you. What's your question?
My question is for Al. So, Al, if you have someone who's really at the beginning stages of what you're saying as knowing and trusting, like, you know, I know what I want to have for dinner, and I trust that my boyfriend will take me out. What, as someone who's just starting out, what is the deeper meaning? How can I connect to that, what you're saying?
How can somebody that's not fully aware connect to that?
Right. As someone who's just starting off and they're sort of open to what you're saying but don't really quite understand, how do you explain that to them? So that
okay.
they can move to that direction.
Okay, and that's a great question, by the way. Okay, this is what I do with my audiences is that if they don't, I don't even introduce that aspect of the trust and the knowing yet, because as I mentioned earlier in the show, the foundation, the premise to all this is to love yourself unconditionally. That is the first thing I do. When I do my speaking engagements, I put them through a process right then and there to get themselves to love themselves unconditionally, to at least open the door to that possibility, because that has to exist before you can ever get to the point of knowing and trusting. Because without loving yourself unconditionally, I don't see how you can get to that knowing and that trusting.
Al.
Yes.
Al. Why don't we walk Terry to an exercise right near? Are you willing to do that?
I'm sorry, you were breaking up, and I'm not sure I got the question.
Okay, I'm saying, why don't you walk Terry to a brief exercise and see? Did you hear me?
Yes, I can. Actually, the what I do live is I do it with people that are in front of me, but what I explained
okay.
earlier about the mirror process is what I would mm-hmm. ask people to do in order to evolve to get to the mm-hmm. point of trusting and knowing.
Terry,
oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Yes.
Okay, are you there?
Yes, I did am. You Thank you.
Okay, you heard what Al said?
Yes, I did.
All right. Well, one of the things I would suggest in addition to that, you heard, I don't know how long you were listening to the show, but you heard the activities he gave us to write on the card to do morning and night?
Yes, I did. That's
okay.
A great
So I recommend that you get some 3x5 cards and write one for morning, one for evening, and you start that. And along with that, too, since you are just beginning, I want you to get a legal size sheet of paper and all the things. I want you to divide the page in two. All the things that you are grateful for on one side and all the things that you love about you on the other side. And then those two activities should be enough to get you out of the preliminary section where you can begin to advance from that.
Daphne, I would like to also add something to my reply to Terry.
Yes, please go ahead.
One of the reasons, or the biggest reason why people are unable to trust or know, is because their ego won't allow them.
That's right.
And the reason why the ego won't allow them is because the ego is the master.
Mm-hmm.
When you start loving yourself unconditionally, you disempower the ego and you empower your heart.
It's like you cut off the blood supply from it.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So as you empower your heart, you evolve to the point where you start trusting and knowing. And there are people out there that are born this way and somehow hold on to the gift, and years later they still have it. But for the most part, a lot of humanity forgets their gifts, forgets their purpose, forgets the reason why they were here, because their ego takes over and becomes their master. But when you do this mirror process and when you start loving yourself unconditionally, then you disempower your ego and you allow yourself to the ability to trust and to know what you already know is your own personal truth.
Wonderful. Terry?
Yes.
Are you there? Did that answer your question? Did you get any help out of that answer?
Yes, actually, I did. I'd like to know when I could, Al, if you're going to be speaking anywhere or if I could follow you, that would be great.
Thank you, Terry. Right now, we're lining up several events for 2014. I think I mentioned earlier, I took a year off of doing that kind of stuff to produce a film called Beyond Hope. And now I'm ready to ramp it up and start traveling again and speaking as much as I can in 2014.
Well, why don't you go ahead and give out your contact information now, Al?
Okay. My website, the website to my movie is beyondhopethemovie.com, and my personal website is ilumine-aoao.com, and I have all kinds of information on there about myself.
Mm-hmm. What if she wants to have a conversation with you? Are you upset?
I believe you're asking me for contact information. You can email me at Al.
Al, I was saying, if someone wants to have a consultation with you, are you offering that?
Oh, absolutely.
And how can she get access? Yeah.
That's also on my website, illuminate-ao.com, and yeah, I have coaching sessions on there also. I'm glad you said that. As a matter of fact, for the month of December, my coaching fee is usually $200 an hour. For the month of December, I'm having a $33 special for all those that would like to know what their purpose is in life and their gift. And I will not tell you what it is. Actually, you will tell me what it is.
All right, Terry. So you got thing you needed, Terry?
Yes, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. How did you learn about the show?
Someone sent me some information on my Facebook.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I'm glad. Let's hope this is not the first time you will stop by. And when you implement those things that you mentioned, I would love to hear from you.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
hope when you implement what we told you, we hear back from you to see the result.
Yes, definitely. Thank you. I'm trying to start something new, so thank you very much.
You're very welcome, and you have a Merry Christmas.
Thanks. Merry Christmas to you, and to you, Al,
thank
too.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Al. We have 4 minutes remaining. I'll give you two, and I'm going to take two for my closing.
Phenomenal. First things first, for you and your audience, this comes from my heart to all of you. I love you as you are. I can see the authentic you. I can feel and see your inner spirit. And every one of us and all of you are beautiful. So I can honestly say I love you as you are. I wish you all the best. I wish you to have the life that you desire. I wish you, you know, to have overall well-being, because it's time. You know, maybe yesterday it wasn't, or a month ago, or a week ago, or a year ago, but now in this moment, right now, it's time. Each of us deserve it. We all deserve it. It's time. But you have to make this choice. You have to make the decision. It's up to you. And if you become dependent on somebody else, if you become dependent on something else, then you're giving your power away. Mm. You already have the power.
Wonderful.
It's up to you.
Wonderful.
I love you all.
Okay.
And thank you for having me on the show.
It was a pleasure, Al. It's a pleasure. I honor you, and I thank you for the work that you're doing. And again, I want to remind people that we are here Wednesday again. We are doing an episode where we are showing appreciation for all our clients and customers. So if you are an entrepreneur, call into the show and express your gratitude to your clients and customers. We are on at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And again, please visit at daphne.com and be sure to get on my mailing list. I want to thank each and every one of you who listened this evening. And I ask that you will share this segment with your support. There is so much value here in this segment that, you know, this was a perfect time for this segment to take place, because we are coming up to the beginning of 2014 and everybody's looking to do things differently. So from my heart to your heart, I see you. I love you unconditionally, and I love myself unconditionally. You know, and there's nothing you can do about that, other than to embrace my love. So I love and every one of you. Al, I love you, and I will be talking with you soon, my brother. We have some unfinished business to address, so I'll be talking with you soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Love you.
Love you too, my brother.
What's the plan that you have for me? The place you've called me to be. Some people call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? Lord,
to my destiny.
My destiny.
I dare you to declare it.